And I think after Mike Nichols, your next captain was John Bayliss.
John Bayliss, yeah.
What sort of captain was he?
Again, he'd lead from the front, maybe with his arm. Yeah, he didn't take any prisoners, and he was renowned because you talk to people and they said, "Who's that blooming animal who plays in the centre?" And you say, "What? God, he's..." And then, "Oh yeah, John Bayliss." Another one, I mean, Tommy Palmer. Such a great outside half, a tackling outside half. We had some good outside half who were very good with the ball, but Tommy Palmer was very good without the ball. You know, you could always rely on him.
Yeah. Playing at this time, did you have many sort of set moves that you rehearsed?
Yeah, I say we had these, shortly we had these from the line-outs, like a peel around the front, back peels. We had a few, yeah, there was a few moves, not so much. No, not that much, but we did have a few we went through, yeah.
Then I think moving on through the years, Keith Richardson was probably your next captain, wasn't he?
Yep.
And that's in 74-5.
Another story, just progressing and get away, is... Yeah. Because Keith was a back row forward, and he came and was made into a prop.
Came from Bath, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. Yep. Now, I forget what season it was. I think it was the 70. It was my second season. And I can picture it now. It was at King's Home, over by the where they used to have the dugout. And Pete Ford came up to me and he said to Cement John, he said, "We think a lot of you, but we don't think you're big enough for the back row. Would you have a go at prop?" So me thinking, well, yeah, I don't mind. I'd do anything for Gloucester. So I tried, and we played Cinderford United at King's Home, Pontypool seconds at King's Home. We went on tour and we played Penzance, where I propped against Stack Stevens, and I propped against Plymouth. And I came home and I was buckled up and I said, you know, if I'm going to play rugby, I'm going to play rugby and enjoy it. And the next season I played 45 games for Gloucester and I won England tour. So that's...
And the question of prop never arose again.
No.
Except I think you propped very briefly for England and South Africa,
didn't you? I did, yeah. That was the days when... You couldn't have replacements. Stack Stevens got a cut when he went off. I don't know why they picked me. I thought there'd been somebody more adaptive. But anyway, I went up. I mean, Mickey Burskin reckons I popped about 20 times, but I think it was about 3 or 4 scrums. But I mean, I was against he was a giant of me. But I think we held our own. We didn't go backwards, and I didn't break me back, so here we are. There is one name that I feel I must mention, is a chap called Ivor Oates. We didn't have coaches then. When Mike Nichols took over, he ran the show, really, but with the help of Ivor Oates. And some of his methods you would never find on a rugby field, like doing bunny hops and press ups and pull ups and putting your arms out and swinging them round and round. But I think what it did, it made you aware, you know, and concentrate and be very disciplined. But I think he was a big influence for me. It really made me enjoy training. I think he was a big part of Gloucester's success, really.
And then after those days of Keith Richardson in charge, you had Mickey Burton.
Yeah, he had the one season, didn't he?
Yep, yeah, that's right. That was 1975-6.
Yeah.
So what sort of captain was he?
Again, I think he he led by example. I think he struggled with captaincy. I don't think it was something he really wanted. Obviously by the results, I mean, we did pretty well, so
yeah.
I don't think it came easy to him. But then again, I see now you've got the Pete Butlers, the Viners, the Kingstons, the new breed coming in, Moggy.
Mm. It was a good team that year.
Yeah. Mm. I personally feel the side we won the cup was one of the best sides I've ever played in. And not just because I was captain. But we had a lot of people who weren't stars, you know, like Simonet and Viner. John Cook, even looking at that, I mean, there were some good men there, really good men.
And you started every game, didn't you, through that cup run? The same 15 started every game.
Yeah.
And that's something, that really is.
Oh, and I think there's Viv Woolley there. I mean, he was. It brings some memories from Fred Reed, Edridge, God. So they weren't people, you know, with big reputations, but we really knitted together.
Yeah.
And what really, I think, made it, this season we went to America. I think that was the first overseas tour we ever done, you know, really proper tour, which we, not like today, you banded over everything. You had to go out there, do your dinners, do your dances, discos. Raise money yourself. I think the only thing the club gave us was a blazer, I think, maybe a tie. But that, so I think that gelled us. There was a lot of the side there went actually on that tour. And the next season, that's when we won the John Player.
So you were suddenly thrown in as an after dinner speaker, were you?
No, I've never been that. That's the one thing I struggle. And in some ways, I wish I'd have. Had a go at it, really, because you only need a few stories and you change the names and stuff. But I've never been one for speaking. No, people say, would you come to our dinner? I say, yeah, I'll come to your dinner. I'll hand out some prizes and say thank you very much, but that's about all you're going to get. So I don't get many invites.
Not even a conjuring trick?
Well, he was a... Yes, I mean, we're talking about that now. We went to Gosforth. I mean, it's Newcastle now, but it's Gosforth.
Yeah.
And we lost 3-0. And I think it was before the night before the game, which in the lounge kind of place, and John Simonet was giving us all his tricks, and he had one trick. I forget this how it started, but it ended up there was something on the ceiling. And he thought, how the hell did he get that up there? I mean, it was just fantastic. And he had another one. That it was somebody who played sport, and he said he started off with a squash ball, and then he went on to a golf ball, and then he went on to a tennis ball, and then he finished up with a cricket ball. And I'd love to know how some of these tricks work. It gets me. My wife says, oh, don't bother, don't worry about that. But it does. I always think, how the hell did he do that? He was good entertainment, off John.
So you started 3 years of captaincy in 1976. How did that come about in the first place?
Well, I say Mickey, I think, struggled. I can't remember if he put himself up. I'm not sure. But as I said, it was a player's decision. Everybody had a vote, and I was very fortunate to be selected. And I think my first vice captain was Chris Williams, and then I think the next two seasons I had Pete Butler. I just felt Peter was. Give me a little bit more, and that was all. I mean, Chris did a good job. He was a very underrated player. Again, another tackling outside half. He'd do his stint, you know.
Did you institute changes as captain?
Changes. I try to set up, you know, rules that we, you know, we get to places on time, you know, we train properly. It'll be a bit more professional, I think. I would hope I brought that. Some people maybe said I was a little bit too rigid, you know, maybe took rugby a little bit too serious. Actually, there is one story. I think I went for about 12 months, didn't drink at all. And I went and played for the county, played at Exeter, actually, against Devon. And after the game, Fred Reid came up to me and said, "Hey, John," he said, "you were boring. So get yourself a drink." So I think we had about 5 or 6 pints of Guinness that night. So I think you can take things a little bit too serious. But I think I tried to bring a little bit of professionalism in. I brought in Mike Nichols to do the coaching. It was a toss-up between Mike and Mickey Booth. And it was just, I felt a little bit more attached to Mike. It was nothing against Mickey. I just thought Mike was the man, and he helped me with Ivor Oaks as well. Mm.